Congressman Mark Meadows is chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Government Operations Subcommittee. Mr. Chairman, thank you for joining me today. You heard from Beth Cobert, the acting director of the Office of Personnel Management, very early on in her tenure in that position. What did she have to say that made you so pleased to get that outreach so early on? Thanks for your time today, sir.
Well, thank you. It's great to be back with you. It's very rare in Washington, D.C., where you see such not only a proactive approach, reaching out to members of Congress on both sides of the aisle, but really a dedication to the federal workforce that came across in her energy, her tenacity, her willingness to really ask the tough questions, but more importantly, find a real solution. And so I am extremely optimistic, very, very encouraged just to see that she's not going to let politics play a big part. It's really all about protecting the federal worker.
It strikes me that that's particularly important at this juncture in the administration. I recognize the high-profile nature of the transition at OPM, but with less than 18 months to go, it would be easy for someone in an administration of either party to say, well, let's just do what we have to do to keep the wheels on the cart.
Well, and you're right. I mean, I come from North Carolina, and in basketball, they call that the four-corner stall, and and we could do that on this. And the real cost of doing that would really be harm to our federal workforce. It would be really delaying the inevitable, which would be not only more cyber attacks, but more people at risk. And so to see her come on, let me just tell you, it is so refreshing because, if you come in the last, like you said, the last 18 months of an administration, some people can say, well, this is a part-time job, a temporary job. I didn't see that at all. And so real kudos to her and her team, and she's committed to making it really work.
What was your response to her about what you'd like to see happen to continue this momentum that you're talking about?
Well, really working with both Democrats and Republicans to get a real solution. And I shared with her, I said, there is times as a fiscal conservative that is very difficult any time that you look at increasing spending or anything else. But I told her I was willing to invest based on what I felt like was a sincere effort on her part. I was willing to invest the political capital on my end to make sure that she had the response and the needed resources to get the job done. And so not only have we reached out to her, but obviously we're working with some of my colleagues on the committee and in other areas on the other side of the aisle.
All of your colleagues on the Republican side are not convinced that more money should go to OPM, though.
Well, they're not. And here's the interesting thing is I'm a business guy. And so if you come up with a plan and said, this is how we're going to solve it. This is a realistic plan on how we're going to solve it. These are the resources we need. That's when you make the compelling case. Now, sometimes we get in Congress and we just say, well, if I just have another few million here or a few billion here, we can solve it. And what we know is that doesn't always solve the problem. And this is a prime example. We spend over $100 billion a year in IT, and yet we didn't even encrypt the personal information of many of our federal workers. So the encryption wasn't done. And so if there's a real plan, even with additional resources needed, I think the votes will be there, and I think they will be there in an overwhelming fashion.
Do you think that the potential appointment of Earl Gay as the deputy director at OPM is something the Senate needs to move on? Senator Tom Carper was on the program last week making that argument, but there's a relationship between Admiral Gay and Ms. Archuleta. He's been her senior advisor for a long time. Does the change at the top of OPM mean potentially it's time for a new candidate as deputy, or should do you believe the Senate should confirm Mr. Gay ASAP and get him in there to help Ms. Cobert?
Well, to be honest, it's very difficult for me to weigh in on what the Senate should or should not do. Obviously, there are political appointments that should be made and some that shouldn't. My big concern, and the litmus test for me, comes back to will he advance the agenda? Is his reputation tarnished where perhaps he can't do that? Or can he speak to that particular issue to give our federal workforce assurance? I've got a couple of people in my office that have been affected as well. And, every day you run into people who say, well, gosh, I can't believe that this has happened. And so, I think the quicker we move, but we do need to make, obviously, responsible decisions.
I'll ask it in a more existential way. if the president decides to stick with Admiral Gay or decides to choose another candidate for that position and the Senate has a choice to move forward, is it, in your view, an advantage for Ms. Coburn to have, A, someone confirmed in that deputy position, or do you believe that she will be able to do the things that she needs to do leading the team that she has in place right now?
All right. So asking in that manner, actually having someone who can augment her efforts is certainly a benefit. And so I would say, yes, that is a benefit. If that appointment would hinder any of the enthusiasm or tenaciousness that I heard and felt, then the answer would need another candidate. And I'm just not close enough to speak to that particular issue, but certainly having that position filled and being able to address that in a real way is important.
Fair enough, Mr. Chairman. Mark Meadows is chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on Government Operations. Do you have an opportunity, do you believe, when you come back from the recess at the beginning of September, to get some activity in your committee, or do you fear that working on GovOps will be overshadowed by all of the discussions about continuing resolutions or trying to get budget bills done?
Well, certainly the continuing resolution or omnibus, whichever it ends up being, that will be the primary source to make sure that what we have is proper funding, because you need to keep the government running and operational and all of that. But those discussions are happening now. And so I would like to think that this would be something that would happen the first part of September. They should be able to run on parallel tracks and address it. Obviously, it is a critical issue. And I think it's one that, again, not only will you find support on the Democrat side, but you do have real support on the Republican side to make real strides. So I'm hopeful that we don't become just so myopic on the financing part of it, which I believe has a real solution and a pretty easy solution that will be addressed in September anyway.
So let's go back then to our conversation, beginning of our conversation about OPM. We've talked a lot, not just in this conversation, but on my program in general recently, about changes at OPM making progress for the federal workforce. What are some specific areas, some granular areas, where you'd like to try to move the ball the rest of this session of Congress, sir?
We're really looking very keenly from stakeholders, regardless of their ideological view, as you know, Francis, to get real input for real solutions on whether it be civil service reform, whether it be actual proper compensation and accountability. Those are areas that are not something that we generally talk about. They don't get me votes back home, but I do believe ultimately an efficient and effective federal workforce is not only what the American people want, but it's really what our federal workforce wants. When I talk to the vast majority of them, I'll be here in August, coming back in August to talk to a group of employees just to thank them for a job well done. What they want is to be recognized for the excellent job they're doing, compensated for that, but also they're just as willing to get rid of the bad apples as the American taxpayer. So I think we can find a real sweet spot there if we don't allow politics to come into play. And so I'm talking to union members, I'm talking to federal workers, talking to my Democrat colleagues, I think there's a real momentum there to actually make that happen.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much for your time, and I appreciate you being with me today.
Well, it's great to be back with you. Thank you for always being one who will not only speak the truth, but highlight the information with real workable solutions.